In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow we are back in the studio. It is a Thai Tuesday. That means Thai Law on the show tomorrow at 9. We are at Gillette Stadium, though, today, awaiting Gerard Mayo, who will be here in about 10 minutes with, I'm sure, a lot to say about yesterday, and we will certainly ask him a little bit about his suggestion after that game last night that once those players get on the field, there's really nothing he can do when it comes to penalties, or maybe he wasn't just talking penalties, that's what he was asked about, but maybe he just means in general. He's not going out there and playing, Wiggy, you know how that goes?
Yep. Did Tom Brady say something to that effect? Like, once the game starts, it's all the players anyway.
No, I think you're thinking of Giselle, who said Tom can't throw the ball to himself. But I don't remember, did Tom Brady
say? Yeah, Tom said that.
He said
it's really about the players.
Right.
He said once the game starts, it's all about the players.
I just remember because Ken took it as a shot at Bill and had this whole idiotic take.
Yeah.
But that was a brutal loss. 34-15 does not even begin to describe how big of a blowout that really was.
No.
But my frustration, Drake May is the future. We all agree he's the only thing you really have.
Right.
These are coming now too often where they had the ball, two possession game at midfield. No, not going to win the game. I get it. But that's a back-breaking pick that he said it was kind of tipped or whatever.
It was.
Bad decision.
Because it was another like kind of floater.
Yeah. Right, try to get it over top.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin Shime's trip to London if you say anything negative about Drake May now.
It's only a flesh moon. I said it earlier.
Like that was easily his worst game he's ever played as a professional. Like it's not, and I think a lot of it had to do with how bad the rest of the team was too. They put him behind the eight ball right off the bat. But at the same time, like the fumble was something you just can't have. And then that interception was, Curtis was right, it was stupid. Like it was. I don't know if I would go to the lengths that he used of horrific or horrendous, but like it wasn't good.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at tendencies, does that alarm you that he has thrown the ball away at the end of several football games here, back to back? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of them you can kind of like excuse away. This one was inexcusable. Like the last one with the Pop Douglas thing, even Alex Van Pelt told you Pop Douglas screwed up. And then the first one he did, I think it was just, you know, you're in overtime, a rookie wants to win it all with one play, and he took a shot and just missed. And that's just going to happen. So, like, this one to me, though, was inexcusable.
I'm not going to say, all right, it was all on him. But I will give him a pass because what he's trying to do is he's the best player out there.
And who are you not giving a pass to today? You're giving a pass to everybody on this football team.
But when you're Drake May and you're trying to create offense and you're trying to make plays and you're like, all right, if I don't make this play, we don't have a chance, you're going to take more chances and you're going to be a little bit more reckless with the football. Even like he talked about, that sack strip fumble, it's because your left tackle and your left guard completely didn't know, communicate to be able to block that guy, Siegler, I think his name was, coming right up the middle. And so what May's thinking in his mind is like, even the touchdown pass that he threw, I have to make like these unbelievable plays to keep us in the game. So at times, as a rookie, he's going to make a lot of mistakes where a veteran might go, all right, I'll eat it and I'll live to fight another
day. I'm just, in your mind, who you go to Miami,
yep,
you get absolutely blown out in
right.
an embarrassing fashion.
Right.
Who is, in your mind, accountable?
I think the players and coaches.
Oh, okay. Because earlier you were not really holding Gerard Mayo.
No. I'm not holding. I said Gerard Mayo. Your criticism of Gerard Mayo all season, I think, is unfair because Gerard Mayo was put in a bad situation with this football team. So, yes, he has to do his best to make sure guys are ready to go every Sunday. But every time he steps on the field as a coach, he's outmanned. He's having to coach with one hand tied behind his back because of what you didn't do in the offseason and the players you put there, the coaches that maybe or maybe not you gave him on offense. You did not give him the best possible, and I'm talking about Robert Kraft.
Put him in the best possible position to be successful.
Yeah, so that's where I give him a pass. So, yeah, there's going to be games where you look and go, okay, you got to do better, Gerard, but I get the hand that you were dealt.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to argue that this isn't the worst roster in all the NFL. I watched many, probably the final, whatever it was, half quarter of the Chiefs-Panthers game yesterday. And the Panthers are awful, but they're better offense than the Patriots have. I mean, they have Thielen, who's
Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard's really good. Their defense was, yeah, but they had some playmakers. Like, this Patriots team is awful. Top to bottom. There are no game-changing players. There is Christian Gonzalez and Drake May. Everybody else is mediocre. And when you watch other teams, like even the Giants, neighbors, like, that's an elite offensive talent.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and I got Brian Burns on the other side, who's an elite pass rusher. I might, if anything, I probably owe Gerard Mayo an apology because when I say to him, well, you know, on paper at the beginning of the season, I had you better than maybe the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears. And he looked at me like, bro, what you been smoking? He might be right.
Well, that was a fair question.
But it wasn't only you. Like, everybody had this as a top, you know, 15 defense in the NFL. They're not playing like that.
No, the most depressing graphic I've ever seen was right at the kickoff yesterday on CBS, where it said key players that are out, something to that effect.
Juwan Bentley.
No, it said KJ Osborne. I'm like, what are you talking about? Right. He sucks. That's the key guy.
All right. Well, here he is right now. Here is the head coach right now.
Yep.
There he is. So we will get to talk about all those things right now with Gerard Mayo.
Love it.
I would say that we'll move trending, if you don't mind, and we'll do that a little bit later.
Love that.
All right. Now, see, Coach, you surprised me. You're bright and early. I got to find all of your sponsor information. How are you? Good morning. Oh, wait. We got to get the headset on first. Morning. How are you?
Someone with a small head had this on.
It wasn't Wiggy or
nope.
me.
I got a big old melon.
Yeah. Full of stuff.
Gerard Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts when it comes to treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Yeah, it was a tough game down there in Miami. We just got outplayed, outcoached, and we just have to continue to get better. You know, you take that game away. The last four, we felt pretty good about, you know, where we were trending, and this hopefully is just a hiccup and get ready for the Colts.
I don't know what word you would use. We were using sloppy earlier. You know, do you feel like this team is playing sloppy?
I would say if you take that game, that was a sloppy game, and it starts with the penalties. And look, the post snap penalties, you can sometimes go back and forth. It's the operational penalties and the lack of focus that really frustrate me, and I know frustrate the team.
Gerard, we talk about this every week. It's like you said, it's those penalties that you have, the false starts, and it's continuing. When do you get to a point, and I know it's probably difficult based on personnel, when guys do start messing up where they got to be concerned about their asses being on the bench for the rest of the game and worrying about playing time?
Yeah, and that's the hard part, you know, as you continue to try to build a culture. And look, these are the things that we're not going to do. It depends on the position group that you even look at and whether we have depth at that spot or not, or we don't have depth at that spot. That definitely goes into it. But it's unacceptable by all the players.
So depth at that spot that you...
General position.
Well, I would use it like Vidarian Lowe, like somebody who ends up, you know, being penalized three times in that game. Mm-hmm. And certainly costly when it comes to where you are field position-wise. Is that... Do you have to look then back at the roster and say, we don't have the depth there, you know, at the position that we need?
No, that's part of the conversation, not only now, but also, you know, in the offseason, you know, where we are, where we do have depth and where we don't.
We've been talking about already this morning about your comments after, about once the guys cross the white line, there's really nothing you can do for them when it comes to penalties. And then you brought up the fact that you just need to prepare them every single week. Do you feel like every week when you're going in to the game that they are prepared to not make those mistakes? How do you make sure to up that as the head coach when it comes to practicing to make sure that this isn't a repeating issue?
You know, I've always said in the media, even when I was a player, that, you know, or I should say going back to when I was a coach in 19 when I first started, is that, you know, once you cross the white lines, like, it's your game. There's nothing I can do to do. You know, like, I try to give you the tools. You have to go out there with high awareness and execute what we're trying to do. I've always said that, and if we would have won the game, it looks like a compliment. We lose the game, now it looks like a slap in the face. But if you were to ask any of those players, I say that all the time.
There was a report this morning that as Drake May was talking to the press, that there were several offensive players laughing. How do you clean up the culture where players don't find any sort of frivolity in a blowout loss in Miami?
I didn't get that vibe in the locker room. When I broke the team down, I told them how I felt about the game. I'm not sure, you know, where that report came from. What I will say is, you know, I heard like one person, like, I guess Lowe, smiled during a question. But look, that's him. He smiles all the time. Look, we're disappointed. We're all pissed off. And we all understand that we have to get better.
The report was from Mark Daniels, though. And a few people have come out saying that while Drake May looked really affected by the outcome of the game, the offensive side of the locker room, a lot of guys were fooling around. It didn't seem like they were taking it seriously. And I think for a lot of people, when it's week in, week out, you wonder if they've just given up on the season. And that's worrisome for some.
I don't think we've given up on the season. I would say, you know, the one, I guess, positive to pull out of the game yesterday is that they continue to play. You know, and going back to the penalties and all that stuff, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot, like, we have to clean that stuff up. To give up 24 points in the second quarter, like, we can't. It's hard to come back from a performance like that. And we just got to get better.
Speaking of Drake, your thoughts on his game yesterday?
I thought he did some good things. Was able to extend plays. But, again, like, the turnovers are, you know, they're hurting the team. And he understands he has to clean that up, and hopefully that's part of his development.
Are there some things, because I know you said, like, once the players step on the field, like, all right, it's up to them. But are there some things that you looked at this game and go, you know, maybe we could have doubled Waddle a little bit? I know it's tough because they also got Tyreek Hill. Maybe play a little bit more zone. Are there some things as you go back and you watch the film that you said, all right, maybe we could have did differently schematically as the game was progressing?
Yeah, I think you always have to go back when you watch the film and, you know, win, lose, or draw. You always go back and reflect, like, what we could have done better. So that's, regardless of the game, we always feel that way.
Gerard, there was a report last week that Marcus Jones texted Alex Van Pelt to let him know that he could play offense. AVP then said that he hadn't seen film of him on offense. That's just unconscionable to me. How was that not something that entering the season Alex Van Pelt would have looked at, considering how big of a playmaker Marcus has been in the punt game?
Yeah, coming into the season, our main focus was first to get Marcus healthy, and then secondly, he's one of our starting corners and punt return guys. So, you know, to spend so much time on special packages and things like that, look, he's our...
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Starting, he's one of our best players defensively and in the special team realm. And look, we've talked about it before. I'm not sure where you want to go from there.
Well, he said on this radio station on Friday when he was asked about it, Alex Van Pelt, that the wrong guy was being asked. So does that mean that they were asking the wrong guy? So does that mean you're the guy that needs to be asked about that?
About
why there was no talk about incorporating him into the offense when you had in seasons past.
We've had those conversations as a full staff. And, again, Marcus is our starting corner and one of the best punt returners in the league, and we have to use him in those ways.
You bring up the fact that the defense gave up 24 points in the second, but then the second half as a whole, you guys only give up 10. What were the adjustments at halftime to make sure that you were able to control them a little bit?
It just goes back to just execution and, seeing the full picture. They hit us with a lot of motions and things like that. I would say the most disappointing thing for me overall defensively was just the communication. It has nothing to do with the first level. It's the second and third level who have to take that by the horns and make sure we're all on the same page, and we just didn't do that, especially in the first half.
I definitely owe you an apology, because after, watching Washington and Chicago, I might have been wrong on the whole personnel thing at the beginning of the season.
Just keep that. We never get an apology.
Yes. Just put it in my pocket.
So for me, that was my bad. But off of that, do you feel like you've been given every possible tool to be successful as a head coach coming into this season that you thought you'd be given?
Yeah, my thing is, look, we knew at some point in time we were going to take our lumps. And I think, it's easy for us to focus on this season. But, as the head coach of the team, I have to think about every single game and also, what we're trying to do going forward. And, look, we'll get better. We'll get better.
You feel like you should have been given the challenge on the Waddle catch?
I do. I know a lot of people probably said something about that, which is funny to me. It's a huge difference. It's a 15-yard difference. there's a 15-yard difference if it is an incomplete pass while these guys are in field goal range. So I'm not sure where people kind of got confused.
Well, there's everybody's a critic.
No, I'm fine with that, but part of my job is to teach you guys football too.
Do you hear all that stuff, the outside noise and stuff?
I don't hear that stuff, but sometimes, part of Stacy's job is just to give me a heads up on what are hot topics, and I know that's one of them.
One of the things that is
Did
something...
you think it was a catch?
I'm not an expert.
It didn't look like a catch.
It looked like the ball was on the ground. Yeah. It was a good challenge. I'm going to say that to you while you're here.
Then when I leave, you're going to say that was
but
definitely.
When it comes to what about? Do you ever hear the criticism that you appear like at times that you're coaching scared?
Yeah, I've heard that. My thing is, I'm always going to do what I think is best in that moment in time. Now, have there been times throughout the season where I go back and watch film like, I could have did that better? Absolutely. I'm sure when you first started on the show, you're a lot better now than you were when your first show.
Arguable.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like everyone, they act like, it's not a learning experience and that growth doesn't happen. Like when you write articles and stuff, I'm sure if you look at the first couple articles you've written versus the last, I'm sure they're just a lot better for everyone here at the table. And I will be a better coach going through this adversity going forward.
But does it upset you? Because Greg and I always go back and forth on this. And like you said, it is human nature to hear some of the things, to talk about some. Does it upset you that you're in a position where you're always going to be compared to a guy who had been doing it for 50 plus, or however long he's done it, where you're in your first year as a head coach, and then there's always a comparison to Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time. Does it not upset you when you go home and say, like, damn, cut me a little slack. You're my first year. I'm learning as I go.
I never look for slack, and I don't really get into comparisons either.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's the guys in that locker room that I have to do a better job getting ready for games.
You talk about yourself getting better throughout the season and moving forward. Do you feel like Drake May, every single game has progressed, even though they may have been losses? This game, it seemed like maybe he took a half a step back.
Yeah, look, if we would have won the game, I mean, the whole narrative would have been different. And again, I don't think progress is like a straight line to the top. I think it's, you're going to have those ups and downs. But after you look at it from a longer, viewpoint, as long as it's still going this way, it's going to be like this. But as long as it's going this way, then, I mean, look, you'll be happy at the end.
If you were going to jump ahead and look at the offseason, what to you are the key areas where you need to look at improving this football team?
We're always trying to get this football team better. That's too far right now for me to look ahead. Like, my main focus is on this game and getting the win so you can smile more.
We'll all look,
can use that.
We'll look ahead for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Wiggy will look ahead.
Yeah, wide receivers and maybe Max Crosby. I know he's a little disgruntled out there in Las Vegas. So.
You're trying to get him to tamper here.
No. I'm throwing guys out there that I would like.
I'm putting my hands up like this.
I don't coach like Gerard said. Yeah. I don't have anything
well,
to
you
do.
Did one season.
Yep.
Guess what? Unlike Gerard, I was, a lot of stuff was thrown my way that I did not deserve.
Right.
Like what?
You were not given all the tools.
Yeah, I was not given all the tools.
Like, what's your?
I did not get to pick my own coaching staff.
Oh, rude.
So
crank up the bus.
Yeah, he's rolling.
He's rolling over.
Some of the guys that I did inherit. I wish I could have removed them, but because it's a union thing, I have no control of that, Gerard.
Well, did they talk about you on the radio afterwards?
No. They definitely talked about me behind my back.
Yeah. Behind his back, they did. Yes,
Gerard. I just interesting because I feel like you may be coaching differently if you had pieces to sub in for guys that were making mistakes. Is that just a fair blanket statement without calling anybody out in particular?
That's a fair assessment.
Okay. Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or a grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. We're in the realm of what if and what could be, what might be. So I'll ask this. Rodney Harrison, Vince Wilfork, and Adam Vinatieri are Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalists. If you had one vote, who would be the guy first?
Vince Wilfork.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Because really? To me, he's one of those guys that, he doesn't have all the big stats, but when you talk about the Hall of Fame, I think about dominant players, and he was a dominant player.
Wow.
Is he the only defensive guy to win both in the first part and the second part? Because he won in 04 or 03, and then he won again in 2014. I think he's the only defensive guy that was part of both.
And other than Ray Lewis, Rodney's the only guy to have 30 interceptions and 30 sacks.
Yeah, all the players that you guys mentioned there are worthy. You asked me to stack rank it, I'm going Vince.
Yeah, I like it. What's the week like with the holiday on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're working. We'll clean this up. The guys are in today, and we'll be in tomorrow as well. Wednesday, full pads. Get ready to go.
What do you got going on Thursday?
I think it's Thanksgiving.
Who's cooking?
Not me.
Not you.
No.
Are you a ham or turkey guy?
I'm a turkey guy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank God.
It depends what kind of turkey you're talking about. Not that dry turkey.
Yeah. No.
You like a fried turkey?
Fried turkey or Cajun turkey.
Oh, I've never had a Cajun turkey. Nope. All right.
Greg just woke up.
Yeah. You got me. All right, Coach. Have a great Thanksgiving.
I appreciate you guys, and I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving as well. I'm thankful for all you guys. Seriously, I am. And look, this is going to make me better. Like, go ahead and, you can question everything. It's going to make me better in the future, and I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I mean, we try to do it in a kind way.
No, don't do it in a kind way.
All right.
It's fine.
Respectful way, at least.
That is Gerard Mayo. The conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. And here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Pats fall in Miami 34-15, the final against the Dolphins. The Celtics beat the Timberwolves at the TD Garden last night 107-105, the final. It's back-to-back game nights for the Seas. They're hosting the Clippers tonight at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30. The Bruins got their second win under Joe Sacco on Saturday, beating the Red Wings 2-1. The crazy news over the weekend, though, just 5 days after Jim Montgomery was fired by the Bruins, he has a new home. Monty signed a 5-year deal to the St. Louis Blues as their head coach over the weekend. And that was brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. In celebration of Awaken 180's 10-year anniversary, all consultations booked now through December 15th will be free. Reserve yours today at awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 41 degrees, afternoon high, 51 and sunny.
All right, we're at Gillette Stadium. We'll see if there are any nuggets.
Oh, there were some things.
Ooh, baby.
When it comes to what Gerard Mayo just said with us, coming up next.